Hello. Welcome to our sunrise service. We have them every December around here. I hope you've been enjoying the sunrises. This morning's was just gorgeous, but so was it. What, yesterday? It was all pink and layered. We have an extra blessing this morning. Tom Bunting is here. Tom lives out of state, but has a contract. His company has a contract with the railroad that is actually running out, I hear. But he was baptized here this past year. And once he finishes, the contract runs out, I don't know when we'll see him again. But good to see you. Will you be here next Sunday as well, or maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I don't believe the contract's
going to
go anywhere.
Okay, all right. Oh, good. Then he will be back. All right, great. Well, anyway, it's good to see you again, brother. Get to give him a hug and a welcome back. That's more than 3 and 3 for him to be gone that long. Let's go to our Father in prayer and then into our lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. How can we possibly praise you and thank you enough for what you do for us? Father, we pray that we can be disciples, true and active as your word encourages us. Please help us as we gather together now to get rid of the distractions and the thoughts that tug at us from the daily schedules and the events of the world, and help us to focus on your word and your will. Help that your teaching comes through this time now, that we can grow in our walk with Christ, and that we can be more effective as a body of yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 10 this morning. What Patrick just read for us out of Isaiah 50 is it's the cry of a disciple. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, he says. And then he goes on in Isaiah to talk about his confidence in God and his help and his strength. But Jesus gives us these words of a disciple in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. They have called the heads of the house Beelzebub. How much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Our mission is to make disciples. And the clear and obvious and oft-repeated part of that is the outreach we do, the bringing of those who do not know Christ into Christ, teaching them the gospel, showing them the great news that Jesus is and his coming is. But the other half of that mission of making disciples is the two-parted making disciples of us. The first person I got to make into a disciple looks at me in the mirror every morning. That's the guy I'm trying to make a disciple of Christ. And then the Bible tells me and tells you that we are to help each other mature. We are to be connected with each other to a point that we grow together as disciples, so that who we are today is measurably different than who we were in December of 2008. And who we are in December of 2010 is measurably different, significantly different than who we are today. Romans 8:29 says that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus said in what we just read, it is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. It is Christ we look at. It is Christ we're growing toward. It is Christ who we're trying to act like. That we're effective disciples. Last week, I was in a conversation with some of the guys here, and I don't know where the conversation came up with this, but I remembered a story that happened to me, an event that happened to me in 1991 in Fort Knox, Kentucky. I had just left my family in Virginia. The Army had me working in the Pentagon, and I had received orders to go to Desert Storm, to go to the war that was about to break out. And being assigned to the Pentagon, you didn't have any tactical gear. You didn't have your helmet or any of the tactical gear you'd have. So that you'd go to a staging place and they'd give you all your weapon and the rest of your stuff, and then you'd fly over. Well, Fort Knox, the same place, was also the place that they brought in reservists and other people that they were calling in. One significant part of the crew that came through us was the doctors. They were plucking up doctors and dentists and folks from all over. One doctor was sitting next to me during a lunch and said, "Do you realize how much money I'm losing every day?" Thinking about the difference between his private practice, what his private practice paid him, and what the Army was going to pay him to get deployed to Desert Storm. But what happened there is that buses would pull up. Every once in a while during the day, a bus would pull up, and it'd be filled with, I don't even know if they have these anymore. They were IRR, Individual Ready Reserve. A reservist is usually a person associated with a unit. But an individual reservist was somebody who wasn't associated with any unit. They didn't have weekend drills. They didn't have much connection to the military. They were supposed to, I think, do something over the summertime, go to some place and do some training to keep their skills up. But as you'll hear, the buses would pull up, the doors would open, and out would file the most hodgepodge, mishmash, ill-prepared, unmilitary-looking group of individuals you ever saw. Out of shape, overweight, long hair, no teeth. I mean, you name it. This crew would pile off the bus and you know, we'd be standing in line at the mess hall or whatever we'd be doing, and we'd look over and go, "You've got to be kidding me." And it was humorous. It was funny until you think, you know, some of these guys were hundreds of pounds overweight. It was humorous until you think they were on contract with They were supposed to keep themselves ready. It was called Individual Ready Reserve. They were supposed to be ready. I don't know what they were thinking they were going to be ready for. I don't know. And although it was momentarily funny, you realize that they probably got into a contract that helped pay for something or helped whatever, or they wanted to get out of the military, whatever they had done, and they just hadn't kept up their side of the bargain. Now, whether the military ever prosecuted any of these, I think they just put them back on the bus and said, "Go home." I don't think they bothered. But you see, if they hadn't reported when they got called, that had been a federal offense. Then they would have been prosecuted and gone after. So they had to come. But man, they weren't ready. You know, the citizen soldier in our country has been a noble tradition. The Minuteman. The one who's ready to go when the country needs them. It's an honorable and a noble piece of our history. And yet it was so embarrassing to see these ill-prepared people file off the bus. They had a contract. They were supposed to be ready when they were called. God calls us to be ready. Even though we are individually responsible, he does put us in units, into collective units. That's part of what the church is about, is to keep each other sharp. But we're supposed to be a better soldier, a better disciple, as the years go down. We're supposed to be more prepared and more Christ-like. Maybe those guys were just satisfied with what they had done and where they were, or didn't care anymore. God has a rebuke. The man who built the larger barns said to himself, "I'll say to my soul, soul," Luke 12:19, "you have many goods laid up for many years. Come, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" So is a man who stores up for himself treasures for himself, but is not rich toward God. And in Matthew 24, Jesus says, verse 42, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of the household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master's not coming for a long time,' and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, so the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour at which he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We are called to be disciples, truly sharpening ourselves and ready at any time. In fact, one of the things I kind of object, it comes up in our songs and it comes up in our attitude sometimes, is that our purpose of being a Christian is to get to heaven. That we're doing this to make sure we get to heaven. And that's such a self-motivated thought. We're living our lives in Christ to glorify God, whatever he asks. And there's so much to do today. We're not just waiting for his second coming. We don't get baptized into Christ and then sit around and wait. Go to work, pay the bills, and wait till I die. He gives us good work to do now. As the reservists should have been ready to be soldiers at any time. Maybe they would have been. They would have showed up sometime in the summer in better shape. That month was, I think it was February or January. January when I showed up there. Maybe the winter time was when they weren't ready. Even the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Five of them have had enough oil and were prepared, and five of them didn't. Another story of mine, of my military, I hope you don't mind, these came through my mind this week. This was back in basic training. That one story started these in my preparation of my lesson. I was in infantry training, and we were being taught defensive tactics and techniques, and this was a night defense that we were being set up for and trained for. And in a night defense, you set up different things. And I was put out in a distant position, me and another guy in a foxhole, in a listening post, an LP. And you get a TA-1 crank phone with a crank handle on the side. And you're supposed to be absolutely silent out there, just absolutely silent. And you can't see anything in a good dark night, but you're listening. You're listening for the first movement of the enemy. And so the night went on, and sure enough, it was a black night, and you couldn't see anything. And we're in the foxhole, and we hear him. We hear movement. We hear the enemy coming. You crank your phone. You whisper a little, you know, who you are and a little bit of the information of what you got. And then you sit silent. You got to be absolutely silent because any movement in your... Now, this was training. You know, this wasn't combat. This was training. But you try to make it realistic. So we're sitting there, and here they come. And, I mean, they're walking. They're practically stepping on us. They're moving right over the top of us. The guys, our footfalls are coming right next to our position. And as I'm laying there and I'm listening, the next sound I hear, the guy in my foxhole has fallen asleep and is snoring. So I gotta be silent. So I jammed him a little bit, you know. Fifteen seconds later. So I grabbed his arm and I dug my fingers into his arm. I figured a little pain, you know, would engage him. We did. We went through this cycle four times. Take heed, says Jesus. Be on the alert. You do not know when the appointed time will come. Not only are we to be sharp and ready and trained, but we're to be alert at the moment. We're to be alert at the moment. Being alert comes up over and over. And in Mark 13, where I started, take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Verse 34, Mark 13. Ends with the phrase, stay on the alert. Verse 35, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, Jesus says, be on the alert. In Acts 20, elders are told, be on guard, or be on the alert for all the flock. Because savage wolves will come in from among you. Ephesians 6, in our prayers, all of our prayers, we're told in verse 18, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. In 1 Corinthians 16, men, gentlemen, brothers, we're told, 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Our alertness is a key part of what we are as Christians. We've got to be aware that Satan really is hurting people. Satan is really damaging lives. Satan really does attack. Which leads me to my last story. The other two, well, one story was training. The other story was a readiness center to actually go to combat. But the third story is combat. It was in King Khalid Military City in northern Saudi Arabia. And I was up there. Long story. The short story is it was at night. We were discussing unit assignments and unit movements. And the missile attack sirens went off. And so the sirens mean you have to go to your bunker. Everybody had dug and prepared bunkers for rocket attacks, missiles, artillery, whatever. And so it's a little, you're sitting there having an effective meeting, you're getting something done, and now the sirens have gone off, and you got to interrupt your meeting, you got to interrupt what you're doing, you got to get your gear on, you got to get your gas mask out because any one of those missiles could be a chemical weapons. And then you got to move to your bunker. So we're all getting our stuff on, getting our gas masks, going out, heading toward our bunker. with the kind of enthusiasm you have, you know, to go to work in the morning. And just then, boom, boom, huge explosions going off. Nothing but elbows and knees at that point. Guys were diving into the bunker. The bunker was designed and built. Normally there were about 10 people in that thing when you'd have an alarm. I think we had 27 in the bunker. You see, you think in combat you would treat things seriously. But even there, you don't treat it seriously until you're forced to. Until it gets tightened up. Nobody was injured there. That night, never mind. But when it's real, you move faster and more deliberately. When the explosions are really going off, when people are really being hurt, you move fast. A disciple of Christ is one, not only is he prepared himself, has he trained and readied himself with fitness and sharpness, not only is he alert, but he treats serious things seriously. A disciple of Christ really is aware of Satan's work and of defeating Satan, resisting Satan, and helping his brothers and sisters. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be sober. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by our brethren who are in the world. You see, a disciple is one who resists Satan. He sees his work. In fact, one of the prayers I'd like you to join me in, something I pray for us, is that we will see Satan a long way off. Being surprised by Satan's attack is a dangerous place to be. All of a sudden, you and your husband or wife are in the middle of an argument, and words are flying back and forth. If somebody can stop and say, you know what? Satan has gotten himself in between the two of us. But see, you got to that point without being aware that he was sneaking up on you. He was getting into your hearts with selfishness, with resentment, with whatever it is. We want to see him a long way off to resist him early, to be aggressive about dealing with Satan. You know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While we are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly. Ephesians 5 warns us about being ready for Christ's coming, being a people who are prepared. And to wrap up the lesson today, here's a good training list. If you want to make it military-like, here's your individual training list. 2 Peter chapter 1. Join me in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to be a serious disciple, because a disciple is to be like his master, Jesus says it is enough for a disciple to be like his master. We are all to be conformed into the image of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. And we'll just start in verse 5. You can read the preparatory on your own time, the build up to verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's what you can work on. You can take these one a week, you can take these one a month, and then go back to the beginning and take them again. You can take them one a day. But here's something for us to be diligent about developing in our own personal lives. With all diligence, verse 5, chapter 1, 2 Peter. But also for this reason, giving all diligence. That's discipline. That's discipleship, okay? Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. That's the first thing we have is faith. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, which means we're getting better at them, right? If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make our call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. That's what the individual Christian can be busy with. That's how you can develop yourself, sharpen yourself and your brother and sister here also. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It's a good training package. It's a good readiness package so that whenever we're called today, and I don't mean called as far as the next coming of Christ, I mean called to take care of something, to help somebody out, to sit down with somebody in their crisis, to challenge somebody in their struggle, that we'll be a effective disciple, that we'll be a church filled with disciples who look like, sound like, and act like our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any here today who haven't started their walk, if you're ready to join Christ and be baptized into Him, we'd love to help you in that decision. If there's any here who have something they need to publicly straighten, either something they need prayed for or something they need to confess publicly, don't let these times pass. These are critical times. And if there's a point or a struggle in your life that you need help with, or more importantly, if you haven't chosen to follow Christ and you haven't been baptized into Him, please don't let today go by without at least asking somebody to have a Bible study with you to talk about that. Whatever your need be, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song selected.